courage, amen, that someone would make it through this pandemic, amen, because it's not over, amen. And we need to be encouraged, amen, amen. If you're not on Facebook, amen, you can, amen, text us, amen. You can text Sister Kim, amen, or our technicians, amen. Give God a hand, amen, for our videographers, amen, our technicians, amen, because they are truly doing a work, and they're always, always, amen, looking for a way, amen, to upgrade New GWC, amen, so that we can get better and better in the way we present ourselves. So I just thank God for them, amen. On yesterday, amen, Pastor Cartier was out here, and over this week, I just want to say I just thank God, because we found in another way, amen, to magnify God, amen. And so our Sit and Talk podcast on the 15th will not be done via the church. We're going to try something new through an app called Tithely, and we're going to try to do switcher and connect the thing, and we're going to try to Zoom our meeting, and we're all going to be in different places, amen. We're not going to be in the building, amen, but we're encouraging you to watch our Sit and Talk podcast, amen. If you miss it live on Facebook, where we stream on Facebook, if you miss it, amen, go back on Facebook and watch the replay, amen, because when we do the Sit and Talk, God is always, always, somebody say always, in the midst, amen, in the midst. Yesterday we had our guest speaker being Dr. Saunders, amen, and yesterday we were talking about fulfilling your purpose, and when Sister Kim texted me that topic, which was her topic, and she gave it to Pastor, and I saw the topic, I was like, oh no, here we go again. No, she's touching in on my message. And I said, I think I'm going to change the message, because everybody on the panel are church partners. And if I let everything out the bag on yesterday, and the rest of New G, amen, the rest of New G begin to watch the podcast, then everybody would know what the message is. And when Sunday come, there would be no need, amen, for me to teach the message. But I just thank God for the faces in here today, amen. Because none of you were none of you were sitting in the building on yesterday. So if you didn't watch the podcast on yesterday, consider this part two for those that were here on yesterday and those that did not. Amen. I encourage you to watch it. Go on Facebook Live. Amen. If you don't have it, ask me, ask somebody, and we'll send you the podcast electronically so that you won't miss part one. Amen. And you can connect today to yesterday's podcast. Amen. And then you can get the part two on today. Amen. I may be talking a little bit about yesterday's podcast, but today we want to start with the Word of God. And it's my title today is God's Good Purpose. Amen. And His good purposes for your life. Amen. And we're going to be coming from the book of Genesis, the 50th chapter. And we're going to be reading the 15th through the 20th verse. And it reads as follows, the 15th verse. After Jacob died, Joseph's brothers were worried. They were afraid that Joseph would still be mad at them for what they had done years before. Now, the years before part, you would have to go and read Genesis, the 37th chapter, the 22nd through the 29th verse. But in that chapter, it talks about how Joseph's brothers had set him up, and how prior to that, Joseph had had a dream, and the brothers didn't like the particular dreams that Joseph had. So because of that, they threw Joseph in the pit. And so go back and read that for your information. And then after they threw Joseph in the pit, they sold Joseph into slavery. They said, maybe Joseph still hates us for what he did, because for what they had done, they figured their brother really hate them. This has been many years when they come to this part, and they felt like because they had done Joseph wrong, he would still be mad at them. And how many people know that somebody can hurt you and you can feel very mad about it and painful about it, and many, many years later, you still hurt about it. So they felt, hey, my brother Joseph is still gonna be upset with me. He's still gonna be mad with us. And not only he's gonna be mad, but he's gonna hate us for what we did to him. So that's what they were really concerned about. So the brother sent this message to Joseph. They said, before your father died, He told us to give you a message. Now, Joseph is in a different place in his life, but his brothers are so concerned that even in the position that Joseph is in, he's gonna not forgive them. He's gonna be concerned about what they did to him. So they come to him now saying, listen, before our father died, he gave us a message to give to you. And this is what they say in verse 17. They said, tell Joseph, this is what the father said. He said, tell Joseph that I beg him to please forgive his brothers for the bad things they did to him. So how many times when you grow up, you know, and somebody younger, when you were younger, hurt you, and your father or your mother or somebody special pass along and they come running to you and they say, now listen, you know auntie wouldn't like this, or daddy said, you know, you got to forget about the past and you got to, you know, you need to forgive me for this. And sometimes daddy didn't say it. And when they said this to Joseph, I said, I wonder if daddy really, Jacob really told them to tell Joseph this. And I researched this, and Dr. Saunders, do you know? I looked this up, and I went and I'm telling y'all, I read every chapter before. I looked at all the reference books, and I still could not find where Jacob actually told his sons to tell Joseph to forgive them. Now, I know that Jacob, and they changed his name to Israel, I know that Jacob knew. Jacob found out what his brothers did to Joseph. So I'm quite sure he wanted Joseph to forgive him. But did he really tell his sons to tell Joseph to forgive him? But listen to this. So now Joseph, we beg, please forgive us for the bad things we did to you. We are the servants of God, the God of your father. That message, the Bible says, made Joseph very sad, and he cried. Now, here Joseph is in this big place, in this big position that God had placed him in. And Joseph is a servant of God. And now his brothers who have done him wrong has come to him and say, now we are servants of God. Now, can you imagine the person that has done you wrong come up to you and say, you know what? You need to forgive me. And not just because daddy told me to tell you to forgive me. Not because auntie is your favorite aunt and she suggested that you forgive me. But you know you love God. And guess what? I love God too. You know you serve a good God. And guess what? I serve a good God too. So it's almost like they're reminding you of the Christian that you are. How many people have felt like that or been in that position? Somebody come and say, aren't you a Christian? Don't you supposed to forgive me? Don't you supposed to forget about it? Why are you still mad? So they were coming up to Joseph and practically saying, but the funny thing about it is that they didn't even have to say all of that. When you know who you are, come on somebody, when you know you already who you are in Christ Jesus, nobody has to pump you up to be have a forgiving heart, because that's what you already got. Come on, raise your hands if you know you already got a forgiving heart. Nobody has to beg you to forgive because you're already ready to forgive. But see, they didn't know the position Joseph's heart was already in. So when they said what they said, Joseph began to cry. And I wonder, did Joseph cry because they suggested that they were servants of God? Did Joseph cry because they suggested that his father told them to tell him to forgive him? Or did Joseph just cry because now they knew God? I was wondering that, and I want to take that last part. I think Joseph was sad and Joseph cried because it's something to know when your family, hallelujah. It's a mighty good thing to know that your family has joined the family of God. Don't you feel good to know that your family is now part of the family? You've been praying for them for weeks, for months, for years, and now they have come to tell you that they are part of, come on somebody, put your hands together, they are part of the family of God. It's a good thing to know that your labor has not been in vain, that now they are part of the, woo, and when you die and they die, you're going to see them again in the spirit. that's a good thing to know. Hallelujah. That now they are servants of the living God. The God that sacrificed his life for them. The God that sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for them. Is now they know that that same God. Somebody say same God. Amen. It's there for them that is there for him. I think Joseph cried. Not just because he asked for forgiveness. Not because they were ready to beg him for forgiveness. But they knew the same God. That got me excited. Y'all not as excited about that as I am. But I thought about all of my family who are lost. And that I begin to pray for them. I get excited when I go to a funeral and I lost my uncle and I lost my cousin. And now we just got a text and she's not gone. Hallelujah. But the one that I just saw at the funeral is now in ICU. And I'm just praying. Somebody say pray. Pray for the lost. Pray for the unsaved. Pray for those that are sick because you don't know if they're going to be here on tomorrow. And I'm just excited that all of Joseph's brothers was yet alive. So when they came to him, they came saying, Joseph, we are servants. Somebody need to get excited. We are servants of God. So I was excited to know that I already knew that my uncle, though he was gone, he was a servant of God. I'm so excited about that today, y'all. Joseph was saying, his brothers went to him and bowed down in front of him. And when I read that, I said, God, your purpose is always fulfilled. Because Joseph shared with them in that chapter that I asked you to go back and read, he shared with them that his brothers would bow down before him. And that's what really upset his brother. They were upset to know, well, what do you mean, Joseph? What are you trying to say? Even his father said, well, what are you interpreting the dream to mean? You mean that we, my brothers, your brothers, and I, and every one of us would come before you and bow down? And the brothers didn't like that. I can imagine you had a dream and you shared it with your family. Your family said, what? You going to be what? You going to do what? Look, we don't even have that money. We're not even wealthy. You're going to be the only one to go to college. We ain't know anybody. Ain't nobody. Ain't none of us been to college. You going to be the one? And nobody wants you to be the one. They want to be the one. So they your family, but don't nobody want the one to be ahead of them. And so when Joseph shared his dream with them, none of the brothers liked it. In fact, they really didn't like it because Joseph was Jacob's favorite son. And y'all know how you feel when you mama's favorite and siblings don't like it. In fact, now when we talk about it, when my sisters and I talk about it, we were daddy's favorite. We still have a little conversation about that. What do you mean you were daddy's favorite? Why you say you were daddy's favorite? But everybody know who's daddy's favorite. Everybody know who's mama's favorite. You can't hide that. Joseph was Jacob's favorite. And when he shared his dream, they did not like that at all. They just did not like that at all. And to say that they will come before him and bow down. So we will be your service. They came and said, Joseph, we will be your service. Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. I am not God. I like that part. He said, don't be afraid. In other words, I'm not upset. In other words, I don't plan to kill you. In other words, you tried to kill me, but I don't plan to kill you. You don't got to be worried. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be concerned that I'm coming to give you what you gave me. It's not an eye for eye situation right now because I am not God. Hallelujah. I have no right to punish you. It is true. Somebody say it's true. It's true that you plan to do something bad to me. I can imagine you standing before your enemy right now. And whatever it is that he tried to do to you, whatever it is that he tried to hinder, whatever plans that God had for you and he tried to stop it, whatever plans that God had for you and the enemy tried to block it, you need to stand before him and say, it is true. It is true that you tried to stop it. It is true that you tried to block it, but it is God has it for my, come on somebody say, it is for my good. It is for my good. You can stand before the enemy and say, yes, it is true. Like Joseph said, it is true that you planned something bad for me, but really, God was planning God's plan is to use me. I don't know what your dreams are. I don't know what your purpose is that God has destined you to be. But God's plan is to use you to save somebody, to bring somebody out of the darkness, to bring somebody into the marvelous light. And when I say out of the darkness into the marvelous light, I don't mean, and when I say to save them, I don't mean to help them to come to know Jesus. I mean to tell them that their plans can be brought to pass. I mean to tell them that the business that they want to start is possible. I don't mean just to say that if you're unsaved, you can be saved. I don't mean just biblical. I mean God's purpose for you can be natural today. It can be materialistic today. God is planning a good, somebody say a good thing. It is, somebody say it is good. Good God Almighty. That's what my daddy say. When he used to preach, he used to say, good God Almighty. Whoa, this feels good. Knowing that God has a plan for you and it will happen. They threw Joseph in the pit. And when I think about that, Reuben wanted his brothers to throw Joseph in the pit because he knew that he could come back and get Joseph up out of the pit. But when his brothers threw him in the pit, their plan for him was for Joseph to die. And usually when you're in a pit and a dry well, there's something down in the well. It's usually animals or snakes or something because the well is dry. And so Joseph had planned to come back and get his brother. Reuben had planned to come back and get his brother out of the pit. And the Bible says when Reuben came back to get his brother out of the pit, his brother was gone. Because the other brothers had already sold Joseph into slavery. But the story goes on to say when they sold him into slavery, Joseph ended up in Pharaoh's palace. So your seat right now may not be comfortable to you. See, God doesn't always put us in a comfortable position. He doesn't always make it glamorous for us. And your destiny, your purpose may not look glamorous right now. You might be going through, and Pastor says yesterday, your struggle might be a season right now that may bring forth pain. Your struggle right now and your purpose right now might be a season where you got to weed out. Come on, somebody, say weed out the things that are not, the things that are causing you to be frustrated, the things that are causing you to say, well, wait a minute, this can't be my purpose. I'm going to have to change what I'm doing. I'm going to go to something else. I might wander to something else. I told my son, you wander from one thing to the next, and then you change it, and you go to the next, and you go, now you need to stand still. He said, Mom, I think I'm just going to seek God first. I think I'm just going to put God first. I think if I just put God first and do the things that I have know in my heart that God wants me to do, all these other things, come on somebody, say all these other things shall be added. See, he had a desire, and we were talking about that even on yesterday. He had goals that he wanted to reach, and I was asking Pastor on yesterday, I say, are your goals the same as your purpose in life? And he said, your goals can be the purpose that God wants for you because they can be intertwined. And so my son had all these goals that he wanted. Can I talk about you for a minute, Pastor William? He said he had all these goals he wanted to achieve. And then he came and talked to me the other day. He said, Ma, I be listening to you. He said, Ma, I think I just want to put a pause. Come on, somebody say, put a pause on some of the things that you're trying to achieve and then seek God. Because see, we were talking on yesterday that you have to first ask God for wisdom. And so he said, I think I'm going to pause on all these things that I'm going after. Hallelujah. He said, then I'm going to go and seek God first. I'm going to achieve the thing that I know God wants me. Come on, come on. And then we were handling Sister Kim yesterday, and we said, what is the thing? Pastor said, what is the thing that floats to the top? If you put everything in a bucket of water, what is the main thing that floats to the top? So my son was saying, this is the one that comes to the top above all things. And on yesterday, come on, we come to help you glorify God today. On all the things that are in the bucket, what does it come to the top? And Sister Kim was able to recognize the thing that float to the top. And my son said, this is the one that comes to the top, Mom. So I'm going to go and seek after this. And he said, and I am confident. Come on, somebody say, I am confident that when I get this, everything else shall be added. So though Joseph was thrown in the pit and he was put into slavery, when his family was lost and they were in famine and they were all out of what they could do, they were brought to his land. And Joseph went to Pharaoh. He said, listen, my family's out there. I want to give them sheep. I want to give them cattle. I want to give them land. Because of the position that Joseph was in, Pharaoh said, go right ahead. I can see God saying, you're a man right. You have set me above all things. And because you have set me above all things, go ahead and get it. Whatever you desire, go ahead and get it. Because I am now yours and you are mine. Go ahead and get it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's good purpose. C.C. Winer said, actually, Elevation Worship, let me get it here. Let me find it before I get lost here. Let me see. Where is it? Help me with it, Pastor. We were Elevation Worship sings a song called Never Lost. And part of the lyric says, you're never lost a battle. You've never lost a battle. You never lost a battle. You never will. And I know you never will. And so when I was listening to that song, I said, Pastor, first I thought they were saying, you'll win. I thought it was saying you'll win. So I said, Pastor, why would they say you never lost the battle? So they're talking about God. And then they say, you win. I thought it said you win. So they're talking to, you know, or you never win, they talking to the devil. God never lost the battle. You never win, they talking to the devil. And so last night I was like, God, I need to find those lyrics. And when I found the lyrics, they were all talking about God. So I said, I thank God that I looked up the actual lyrics because it all makes sense. It's talking all about God because he never loses a battle. And so when it came right back to my message, how we are so concerned about our frustrations and our disappointments because the struggle is sometimes difficult on the way to your purpose. And Pastor was sharing his situation when in his job, and I remember in my job, and I even remember right now a current situation, because sometimes you could talk about past blessings, but when you could talk about your current situation, it matters. And even when you can talk about things in the Bible, people say that was the Bible, but how do I apply it now? How does it change me right now? And so I can bring it to me right now. Do you mind if I bring it, take one minute to bring it to me right now? I was saying, how does this message apply to me right now? How can I share with you so that you can apply it to you right now? And so I had shared with you all many months ago, about almost 2 months ago, that I was seeking God for a financial blessing, and I was asking him for a specific amount, and I was looking for God to render that unto me. And so I said, God, I had desires that I wanted to do with that money. And so something else filled in the midst of that. And I wasn't even looking at that as if that was the thing. Come on, somebody, say the thing. Because I had asked God for me. Something specifically, well, not just for me, it was money, but it was for my family. It was all encompassing, and not just the family, but other things involving other people. And so when the blessing started coming in a different way, see, when your purpose, God give you a purpose, sometimes things come along the way and we get sidetracked. We think that's not the answer. And so the blessing was coming, and Pastor says, I need you to be part of this. And I was saying, no, I don't want to be part of that. You know, because I got my focus on what I'm focusing on. And so I don't want to have anything to do with that. You go right ahead. I don't want to mess up my credit. I don't want to change my score. I don't want to be involved with any of that. But I was encouraged and I was motivated that he would get involved because I wanted to see that part be fruitful. I wanted to see that go forward. And so I was detached from that. But little did I know that God, come on somebody say God, had a purpose and his purpose for me was intertwined into that blessing. And so I had to stop back and say, God, am I missing? Come on, sometimes you got to go back, step back and say, God, am I missing the point? Am I missing the blessing? Am I missing the focus? And when I began to step by, Pastor on the sideline had involved me anyhow. Sometimes people that know better, know you're no good for you, got to involve you anyhow. And sometimes, okay, my time almost up. That's it. Sometimes people like your pastor got to pray for you anyhow. You don't know your purpose, so people got to pray for your purpose anyhow. You don't know what God is sending you, so people got to pray for you anyhow. And so Pastor involved me anyhow. And I heard it on the sneak peek. I came in and I heard him on the sneak peek. I said, well, why did you give that lady my license information? Why'd you get that lady my social security number? Why'd you get that lady this? Why'd you get that lady? He said she asked for it. I think she's just updating the previous file. So I said, I went online and I looked at my credit report. I said, well, why did they, if that's all she was doing, why do I have an inquiry? See, I was looking for God to do something different. And to cut the story short, God opened a door and God blessed us. But in the midst of before the blessing, it appeared that the blessing wasn't going to happen. Notification came along that said it wasn't going to happen. But we didn't give up. So I'm coming to encourage you. Things may happen. The enemy may try to stop it. They may try to block it. They may even put potholes in your pathway, but go around it. Because God is pushing you forward into your destiny. Come on, will you stand? So Father, we just thank you right now for all those that are watching. For those that are standing right now in person, God, that can think about what they're going through, the struggles and their purpose. God, we ask all you right now, God, to allow them to find the source, the weed killer, God, that will kill everything that is coming up against it, God, in the name of Jesus. And God, that they will recognize, God, that it's the season. And that their season may change, God. That their purpose in life may change. As you elevate them, God. As you move them, God, from one season to the next, oh God. As they begin to grow, oh God, you will change, oh God, the outcome, oh God. In the name of Jesus. That whatever you have provided, God, whatever source you have provided, God, that they will use it right now, oh God. That they would not think, oh God, that they can't go forward. Oh God, help them to move forward, oh God. Help them to progress, oh God, with what you have already provided, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Right now, God, those that are watching, those that are sitting on their couch, God, we encourage them right now, oh God. We pray for them right now, God. In the name of Jesus. We're reaching out our hands to them right now, oh God, that they will hear your spirit in the name of Jesus, that they will listen to your voice, and they will go forth in Jesus' mighty name. We give your name the glory, oh God, for the spirit of the Lord is right. It is living, it is the living truth, and we thank you, oh God. We thank you for being in this place and for being with us. We give your name the glory and honor. We magnify you for who you are. Let the church say amen and amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together in this place. Thank you, Jesus.